from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in late 2009 when Rochester City Council approved the use of so-called red light cameras. By 2010, some of the cameras were operational. They become a fact of life in downtown. And following a judge's ruling in favor of the city in 2013, they certainly appear to be here for the long haul. And Rochester's hardly alone in using this kind of a system. But the cameras have been back in the news in recent days as the city's Office of Public Integrity is looking into whether there was any wrongdoing when the city first contracted a company to operate the cameras. Mayor Lovely Warren has asked for the review after the company that operates the cameras was linked to campaign contributions in Ohio in a separate case there. City Councilman Adam McFadden is among those calling for a stringent review, and McFadden goes beyond the contract. He says the cameras tend to be in poorer neighborhoods, hurting people who are already struggling with poverty. So what's the future for red light cameras? Are they working as intended? My guests for the hour, Jim McIntosh is here, Rochester City Engineer. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Evan.
T. Andrew Brown's here, Rochester Corporation Counsel, the city attorney in the media parlance. I hope that's okay with you. Nice to see you, sir.
That's quite all right, Evan.
Thanks for being here. Also here is Lawrence Krieger. Larry is an attorney who's challenged the red light camera system with, so far, not as much success as he would have hoped in court. Nice to see you, Larry. Well,
thanks, Evan. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see City Hall representatives here because I'm interested to learn myself, why is the city still sticking with this program?
Well, that's a good first question, and I suspect part of that starts with the question of whether or not it's working. I always say one person's story is not a scientific study. I've gotten two red light camera tickets in the mail myself, and it has changed the way I approach intersections. I confess as a driver myself, but I also know that there's been debate from city to city. Is this actually helping? And so let me start with Jim McIntosh. What do we know so far?
Okay, so what we know so far and what we're going to confirm even further by getting more data is that over the time we had the cameras, the first report, which came out back in the fall of last year, we saw accidents reduced by 78% at those intersections with the red light camera, and the types of accidents that we're trying to avoid, right angle crashes versus the other one that is always a component that is a concern with red light cameras is rear end crashes. Those went up at a few intersections, and out of the 48 cameras we have at 32 different intersections, we saw there was only 8 intersections where we had an increase in crashes, and we're looking at those to see if there's some other physical reason why that's happening. Is the sight distance bad, or what are those reasons that that's going on?
All right, so is that a short way of saying so far they appear to be working as intended?
So far they're doing, the reason we started the program was definitely for the safety piece of it.
Listeners, if you want to call the program with comments or questions this hour, I'd be remiss not to give you the phone number. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. If you have any comments or questions in regards to the way red light cameras work, it's not just a phone number to air your grievances, but, we'll take your comments and questions, et cetera. Larry, you want to respond first and foremost. Pull that mic a little closer to you, and some thoughts on that. So the city is saying, so far, so good. They're working as intended.
Well, that's no surprise, Evan, that the city has a self-serving study. But the conclusion of the study really is that they need another study. The report by the city's contractor back in November was biased, deeply flawed, and not an independent expert. In court, we have a saying that when you call an expert or a witness, the first thing you want to do is find out their biases and possible conflicts of interest. The report that Jim is referencing is by a contractor that does business with the city and would like to continue to do business with the city. They didn't seek out a national or independent expert. And really, what people need to know is that the city doesn't have a red light problem. The city wasn't even shopping for a red light camera system when this was presented to them by a lobbyist from Redflex. In fact, this is solely about raising money.
Jim, is the city open to data that would say, hey, this isn't working as intended? Do you have any doubt? Because Larry's saying that's self-serving. That company that did your study wants another contract with you, and they're going to make you happy by saying, you're doing a great job.
Right. I guess you could make that argument if, the people that were doing the study weren't licensed, engineers with a license to lose. I would think, okay, if anybody was putting that study together, I guess you could say that. I guess the people who are putting are traffic professionals, and the reason we went outside instead of doing it internally at City Hall was to get somebody outside, doing that. If the firm came from Cleveland and we were paying them, would they not have the same bias? You know, Larry or anyone else is certainly, we make the data available to them if they wanted to pay somebody to do that analysis and do it outside the system.
All right. So Larry, again, that's a fair point, isn't it? That if they're falsifying data or they're rigging a study, you know, and you get found out, aren't you done for future business?
Well, I don't believe the study corrected or controlled for that unavoidable bias. But here's the thing, is the city has a solution in search of a problem. You know, there wasn't any particular red light collision epidemic of collisions.
A pre-existing problem?
Yeah,
right?
And it doesn't happen more in the city than in the towns or in the suburbs. The traffic volume and speed limits are much higher in the rest of the county, but none of the towns have a red light camera system. New York State doesn't run a red light camera system. It's only in the city, and it's because only in the city are we hungry for cash.
Okay, well, that's a fair point for the city to respond to now. So was there a problem to begin with that was perceived, and were red light cameras were the way to address them effectively?
So the reason it's only in the cities and not in the counties is that the legislature passed legislation that let the, you know, five cities explore this. It's been going on in New York City for 20 years. They've been, you know, actually now probably almost 30, they've been doing red light cameras. And so what the city did when we were asked to implement this program, we put together a team. We looked at the intersections with high volumes of traffic and high accidents, high right angle accidents. And then prior to putting up any cameras, we videoed those for 12 hours and we looked for the data. And our criteria for those intersections was, were there 15 or more people running the red light during the 8 hours that that camera was hung? And so those 48 intersections out there had one of two things. Either they had 15 or more people running those red lights, or we had pedestrian accidents from people making right on reds at those intersections. One that comes to mind is the corner of Alexander and Monroe, right by Monroe High School. That one was put in not because of the red light running, although we did see red light running there, but a lot of it was the right on reds and the history of accidents with pedestrians and cyclists at that intersection.
Okay. So, Larry, it sounds like the city did perceive it, indeed, a problem to be addressed.
Well, Rochester is unique then because it's bucking the national trend where cities are pulling the plugs on these systems, mostly due to public outrage and the perception that it's not fair, that it's simply to raise revenue. And I would ask Jim this, if it's really about safety, why doesn't the city take the fines, several million dollars a year, to improve those problem-specific intersections, or spend it on driver education, or spend it on something to do with traffic safety?
You mean as opposed to going to the general fund?
Exactly.
Okay, so Jim, the money that's coming in, do we know? Yeah, Tiana Brown?
Evan, can I weigh in?
Sure.
Before we move on to another topic, Mr. Krieger would leave the audience to believe that Rochester stands alone in having a red light camera program. The fact is, many cities in other states across the country have these programs, and they've had them for a while, and they seem to be working well. And public safety is the underlying reason behind all of them. And that is the reason and rationale behind Rochester.
So how much money are they raising for Rochester?
I don't know that answer, and it varies. So the reason that we set up the contract the way we did was basically for it to be revenue neutral at worst for the city. We don't want to lose money by putting
sure.
the system in. So some of the signals, you know, some of the red light camera intersections we have actually don't cover themselves, don't generate enough tickets to cover themselves. And other ones do. And overall, the program is making money. But when Redflex came in, along with, you know, the other four vendors that we interviewed, they basically said you're going to have this curve that in the first year you're going to see, you know, this really high number, and then people will start to learn, especially, you know, the locals and who, you know, live in those areas, and then that number will drop off, and it could drop to 30%. Well, we haven't quite dropped off that much, but if we did, you know, we might think about taking the program out because it wouldn't be doing, you know, it. We would probably still leave the program going as long as it was, you know, continuing to provide safety. We didn't set it up for the revenue. I won't dismiss that we are getting revenue from it, but that wasn't the intent. And if we really wanted to have revenue be the basis for that, we would have done some, you know, contract where we took a certain amount over a certain percentage or something and taken the risk to reap the maximum reward.
Where is the money going? The money that comes in, general fund?
As far as I know, I mean, that's a question for the budget director, but I believe it goes to the general fund.
Okay, so why not?
It may actually go to the police department for their programs, but I'm not positive.
Why not use it for on traffic-specific areas?
Well, I think that's, you know, that is what, you know, council pushed back about and why we're doing the second piece of the study. So those eight intersections that we had we had more accidents than, you know, something else obviously is going on there. You know, you can't blame those on the red light camera. So we're getting more data going back, you know, farther back to 2007 through 2014. So we have quite a bit of time before and after the cameras. Make sure those trends hold out. If that report comes back and says, you know, these numbers were too short and it wasn't the same, we're going to have to look at the program. But certainly we're also going to look at those eight intersections and say, you know, why are we having more accidents here? We put this, you know, program in to reduce the number of accidents.
Well, if it's about traffic safety, I'd like to ask Corporation Counsel, why is the law written that in Rochester the violation goes to the registered owner, not the driver? Like a regular traffic ticket, the moving violation would go to the driver, and maybe you would learn your lesson. Maybe you get a warning from the police officer, but at least it goes to the party that was the perpetrator. Why in Rochester does it only go to the registered owner?
Yeah, well, that's a question that I have heard raised before, and it's not unusual. If you look at the laws in the state of New York around motor vehicle and ticketing, it's not unusual that the registered owner gets the ticket and has to advocate for the avoidance of the ticket or in defense of the ticket. Here, it makes sense for the registered owner to get the ticket, and if the registered owner has a problem with the driver of the car, then he or she can seek indemnification from that driver. There's nothing wrong with that. That happens in the courts all the time.
Well, but this is a moving violation. So how does sending the ticket to grandma teach anybody a lesson about not running? And by the way, I have to take a step back. I want to emphasize that, of course, nobody should run red lights or disobey traffic devices. But that's not really what's going on here. Sending a ticket as a city code violation to grandma because somebody driving her vehicle made a rolling right on red or stopped a wheel farther on the stop bar than they should have really isn't doing much for traffic safety.
But who's responsible, Larry? I mean, if it's my car and I say, Larry, you say to me, I need to borrow that car, and I'll say, okay, I've got a decision to make. I'm going to allow you to borrow my car. I'm trusting you that you're going to be responsible, and if you're running a red light, should I be responsible or should you?
Well, it's a civil matter. I don't understand how that teaches the driver a lesson. And let's understand here that most of these red light camera violations are not for actually blowing through an intersection and running a red light. Most of these are for making a 3-second rolling right on red instead of a 6-second rolling or 6-second right on red.
All right, so a couple points here. Let me just say, I brought that up because when I got a couple of red light tickets in the mail, they went to my wife. And I got a lecture from
her. But that would be because the car is registered to your wife.
Yeah.
And in the state of New York, Larry, keep in mind that there's a presumption that someone using another person's car is using that car with the owner's permission.
Sure.
There's nothing unusual about the way the city of Rochester.
That's a legal nicety, and of course, yes, that's the law. But it doesn't seem to comport with common sense that if somebody runs a red light, the person who makes that violation should be the driver, just like regular law. And that's the case in all the towns and suburbs. Only in the city is it a town or is it a local code violation that the registered owner gets the ticket.
But again,
and I can't tell you how many people have called my office who are employers, spouses. I've heard of one marriage breaking up over this. A ticket came in the mail that revealed a ticket where it should have been. But a lot of people are getting hit in the pocket that weren't driving the car and can't defend themselves. And it seems like a very negative approach to traffic safety.
Well, it's a hit in the pocket. It's $50. And the hit is best delivered to the registered owner. If the registered owner has a problem with the person that was driving his or her car with permission, then a registered owner should take it up with that driver.
Before we get to the phones, which have been ringing since the moment the program began, the question of whether it is a financial hit or not is different for different people. And Larry, I think you have raised a point that I heard Adam McFadden raise. City Councilman McFadden is saying that he thinks these cameras disproportionately target impoverished neighborhoods, and he's got a problem with that. Do you agree with that?
I agree with Councilman McFadden. He's emerged as the only voice of reason from City Hall on this subject. The cameras are strategically located in the city, mostly in low-income and minority neighborhoods and downtown, and the social media comments, if you follow this subject, reveal that they're really hitting a lot of low-income, working poor, and just regular working people in the pocket. And now that the city is aggressively booting people and ramping up collection efforts, they're booting a lot of people into poverty.
Jim and Mr. Brown, what do you make of Mr. McFadden, City Councilman McFadden's allegation that this disproportionately targets poor people?
Well, from looking at the history of the program, the cameras were not strategically placed in impoverished areas ever, to my knowledge, and that was never the idea, and I personally would be offended with that. The cameras, to my knowledge, were placed in areas where there was evidence of the most running of traffic lights and the highest proportion of injuries and accidents. And I don't believe that's ever changed.
And as part of this next report, we're going to get to that. We can get that information through the vendor. We did a brief study, 2013, looking at the zip codes and how those, you know, just for that year. And we saw no zip code with more than 10% of the red light cameras. And the largest group was actually 15% outside city zip codes. But, you know, no particular neighborhood or zip code had more than, you know, 10%.
If studies showed that there were a disproportionate number of tickets going to people in poverty or neighborhoods in poverty, would that change the city's position?
I guess the issue that people of poverty, they're also the people that, you know, 40% of the people in some of our impoverished neighborhoods don't have a car and ride a bike. So are you saying that it's okay for someone to run through a red light and hit that bike or pedestrian, but it's not okay if they have to pay for that just because they're impoverished? I think that anybody running a red light needs to, you know, slow down and stop doing that. The 15 seconds you gain from, you know, running a red light isn't worth, you know, hurting or killing somebody, especially those people who can least afford, you know, to be out of work or anything like that.
Well, there we go again with the safety pretext. There's not a particular problem with people running red lights and causing accidents or killing people in the city any more than towns or suburbs, any place else that it happens. And I'd like to ask the city engineer, has the city looked at other technical alternatives? Like, for example, many cities have simply increased the yellow 3 seconds and have found that's a very effective solution.
We have some of the, all of the yellow, we don't, by the way, because that's been an accusation, we do not control the camera or the signals. The Monroe County DOT controls the signals. And all the signals, even though the prescriptive number is 3 seconds, almost every signal in our system is somewhat over that, and it's based on, you know, car speed and the angle of, you know, the intersection, all those kind of things. So that's something that every red light camera, you know, person who's against red light cameras brings up, is that we're changing the time or the time is too short. We just don't see that as making a difference in whether people respond and stop at the light.
Has the city also looked at countdown timers and other alternatives like solid red in both directions, which many cities also do? The problem is, though, those don't bring in fines.
We have solid red in all directions. Again, the county is doing our program, but they're pretty much on the cutting edge of traffic control. We're having countdown pedestrian timers by the end, I think, of this year and next year. Every intersection in the city will have countdown ped timers. So, yes, we're looking at those other alternatives. But to say that 15 people running a red light at every one of these intersections we looked at or more in 8 hours is acceptable and didn't cause the accidents, right-angle accidents that we saw at those intersections, I think is just being blind to the facts.
All right, we're talking about where red light cameras are and where they're going in the city of Rochester. They certainly appear to be here to stay. Our guests are helping us navigate that landscape. Jim McIntosh, Rochester City Engineer. T. Andrew Brown is Rochester's Corporation Counsel, their city attorney. And Larry Krieger's here, an attorney who has challenged the red light camera system in court. We will get to your phone calls in just a second. And if you're on, again, we're going to try to be as substantive as we can be. I know a lot of people have had some frustration getting tickets, etc. But here's a question from a listener that is an important one. At this point now, we're 5 years into the system. Let's say you're driving a car and you get a ticket. You don't own the car. Can the person who owns it contest it? How does that work in court when the person who owns it was not the actual driver? And can any defense be offered right now against these tickets?
Yeah, if you receive a ticket, you can certainly challenge it. The caller asked about a court process. These tickets are not handled in court. They're handled administratively. But you can certainly challenge a ticket. If you get a ticket, the notice that you receive will tell you right on it how to go about challenging the ticket.
How many tickets have been overturned?
That I can't tell you.
Have any?
But certainly...
Have any been overturned?
I'm sure there have been, sure.
But
keep in mind that the primary evidence here that we're talking about is a photo, a video of the car passing through the red light. So you would have to argue that the video is telling a lie. If it's your car and that video shows your car running a red light, you're going to have a hard time defending that case.
The defense I'm hearing from some people already via our social media, at Evan Dawson on Twitter, via email, is that they're saying what Larry said earlier, which is that one gentleman said, I was turning right on red. I made a stop, turned right, get nailed with a ticket. I have no defense against that. And that Larry is saying, yeah, that's a lot of these tickets. Do we have any idea how many red light tickets are for people who are making a turn on red? Do we know? I don't even know if you can know.
Oh, we can, and I think we're going to, you know, start looking at that.
Well, see, that's one of the problems.
Larry, hold on. Let Jim finish. Go ahead, Jim.
Sure. I don't know, but I haven't been, you know, tracking that. I believe that some people in the program know, but I don't know. But we are going to include those types of pieces of information, you know, as part of this next report, just because we think it's good to get all the information.
Is it possible that there are some valid complaints out there that somebody got nailed turning right unfairly?
Yes, and I think, you know, I guess when you're asking an officer to review somebody turning right on red, it's very hard to tell them, well, if you were out there watching, would you write this person a ticket? Because they may see somebody who stops and looks, you know, and they're in their car and they turn. But by the definition of the law, you need to stop before the stop sign or before the stop bar that's in the street. I mean, that's in the driving code. And then you can go around, you know, the corner and make the right on red. But if you're an officer sitting there watching the video of it and they ask you to interpret that according to the law, you're going to write that, you're going to send that ticket through because that's what you saw in the video.
Larry? And the city of Rochester has the burden here. There's a requirement that the city show substantial evidence in making out its claim. So that's a higher bar that the city is meeting in these cases. But again, if someone wants to challenge a ticket, they can do that. They can show up at a hearing and they can put in their defense.
Well, it's actually a very low bar. The court in the case that challenged the constitutionality of the red light cameras determined that the city law met minimal due process. And your minimal due process in this case is in the city's parking violations bureau that's run by the city in front of a city-appointed hearing officer that answers to corporation council at City Hall, and you get a very streamlined process. So lots of luck at the parking violations bureau, not in court.
Well, the courts have looked at this closely and have found that due process is met. Here we have a potential fine of $50. There's no jail. This is not a criminal proceeding. So you're not going to be entitled to a jury and the other types of processes and procedures that you see in a courtroom. This is an administrative process. It's a potentially $50 fine. The courts have looked at what we have in place and have said you met the requirements for due process, which is simply an adequate notice and a hearing.
How many cities around the country, roughly, do we know are using these red light camera systems?
I don't know the number, but I know there are many.
Is it essentially the same kind of system city to city? From what I've seen, it is pretty similar.
Well, a lot of cities do use this, but the trend is that cities are dropping this. Corporation Council failed to mention that there's several states that have outlawed photo enforcement and specifically red light cameras. South Dakota is the most recent one. In the state of Florida, they have an appellate decision that found this type of system is unconstitutional, and there's now a class action case going on to return millions of dollars of un, illegal fines that is going on in Florida. So, and in California, Los Angeles is probably the biggest city that has dropped these cameras due to public outrage.
Okay.
Let's be clear. These programs have been challenged in the courts, and there are many cases throughout the country finding that they're constitutional. So this is not an illegal program.
Including, Larry, the one that you took to court in 2013.
Well, that's right. The local law was upheld. I believe that in the future, the right party's going to come along and bring this up on appeal, and it won't pass muster at the appellate level. But here's what people really need to know. Citizens and people that drive in Rochester don't want this program. It's a bad approach to law enforcement. It's bad public policy. It's really a hidden tax. And the worst thing about this whole red light camera system is it encourages disrespect for the law and disrespect for City Hall. People don't want to come into the city and spend their money.
All right, so hold on. This is an important point, and I want to see if we've got common ground on any of this. T. Andrew Brown, Corporation Counsel, Jim McIntosh, City Engineer. Again, you're pointing to some of the virtues of the program, the drop in accidents, et cetera. Do you agree with Larry, though, that in general, people in Rochester don't like this?
People who get tickets don't like this. I will agree with that. I haven't heard anyone who said, I don't like the program, and when I ask them, have you ever got a ticket, they say, no, I just don't like it. And getting back to this stopping on red, I forgot, as of our last council session and when we presented this report, one of the changes that were made, that if you come to a complete stop on any right on red, even if it's not in front of the stop bar, if you do it at any point as you're heading up to the intersection, if you just come to a stop, as the law says, you will not get a red light, right on red ticket. It's just that you have to come to that stop. You can't do the roll around the corner.
Matt on Twitter wants to know if the data is open to everyone to be viewed.
The data that we have, the report's up on the website, and that includes the data, yes.
Okay.
And it was all from the MV-104s that that are taken from the police.
There's another issue that the city engineer hasn't brought up yet, which is the increase in rear-enders, where people get gun-shy at these red light intersections and stop too soon, and we have rear-end collisions now.
Sigrid on emails and says, we're ticketing cars, not people. The logic of it is ridiculous. It would follow that a registered gun was used in a murder by somebody other than the registrant, then the registrant would be arrested for the murder. Come on. That's the parallel he's drawing. Larry, does that parallel work for you as a lawyer?
I think that, well, legally that's not a probably a winning argument, but the gist of it, the common sense of it, is that why are we hitting the registered owner in the pocket for a technical violation done by somebody else?
Okay, and that's already been asked and answered by T. Andrew Brown, and so I don't want to retread that territory. The rest of the hour, we're going to the phones after we answer one more important question. What is going on with the ethics investigation? We see, Mr. Brown, we see that the Office of Public Integrity has been looking into whether any wrongdoing was happening when the city first contracted a company to operate the red light cameras. I know the mayor asked for this review after the company that operates the cameras, based in Arizona, I think, was linked to campaign contributions in Ohio. And the allegation, I think, there is, yeah, they contribute to the campaigns of politicians. The politicians put the system in place. The company makes the money. No one is saying that definitely happened in Rochester. I think the mayor just wants to make sure everything was above board. Am I understanding it correctly? What's going on?
No, that's correct. The mayor has asked for this investigation. The investigation is underway. And whatever findings result will be shared with the mayor and with the public.
No findings yet?
No findings yet, to my knowledge.
Any reason to think that anything untoward happened here?
I don't have any reason to believe that we're going to find anything untoward here.
Okay. Larry Krieger, what do you make of this?
Well, as an attorney, I have a problem with that because, to be fair, there is no factual allegation of any bribery or political corruption in Rochester. However, there is a guilty plea to bribery in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Chicago. And those are the cities that Rochester pointed to as cities where this program is working and other cities where it's been put in place. So that undermines the entire thing to me. And I don't understand, Andrew, why the city hasn't fired this bad contractor.
Well, wait. To suggest that the company did something wrong in Ohio doesn't mean that they did something wrong in New York. And certainly not in the city of Rochester.
Well, it raises a question about their integrity.
Well, it raises a question, but that is why the mayor asked for this study to be done. And now we have to wait until the findings are concluded and roll out.
Yeah, I mean, Larry, you at least accept the fact that the mayor is now saying, hey, we don't know of anything wrong. We want to make sure, because the company now appears to have a track record of playing a little dirty. Well, and but it doesn't mean it happened here, and we're going to look.
Well, a little dirty reminds me of a saying we have in court as a trial attorney, which is this: false in one thing is false in all things. I don't believe that in private industry this contractor would still be working for a private company. The city should at least suspend the program while it's investigating.
Okay. So before I get to the phones, then, last question for the Corporation Council. Any idea when this investigation of the contract is going to be done?
I can't tell you that.
Not a matter of days, weeks, months?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because remember, the people being investigated are not in the administration today.
Right.
So this is a new administration. The Warren administration has come after this program was put in place.
Absolutely. Because it was put in place. It was voted in by City Council 2009. The program began operational in 2010, I believe.
Correct.
So
right.
Before the lovely Warren administration. Short break. When we come back, your phone calls on the question of the red light cameras in the city of Rochester. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, comedian Jerry Seinfeld says he doesn't do college campuses because campuses tend to be awash in overly careful PC. And he says everyone wants to call you a sexist or a racist unfairly. Is he right? We're going to hear from local comedians. We'll talk to folks from college communities. We'll explore Amy Schumer's recent comments and talk about where the line in comedy should be Thursday.
Every year, millions of students take standardized tests. But who scores them and what goes on behind the scenes are mostly a mystery.
They don't know what we're doing, so there's a lot of misconception of what we do. And we don't have a way right now to refute that and show, no, this is really what we're doing.
Finding answers to the test later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. This is one of those Wednesdays where I appreciate some of the debate that we've had both of these hours, and I appreciate the fact that people have been willing to show up and have them. So, Larry Krieger, can we get at least a little common ground in saying, nice, at least the city is here answering questions? They didn't have to say yes today.
Well, it is great to see two heavy hitters from City Hall, and we agree to disagree that this city program is about raising safety, when I believe the facts and the perception out there, if you read social media, guys, the perception among your citizens is this is about raising revenue.
All right. Well, I do appreciate.
Evan, can I just speak to that one point?
Because sure.
Because Mr. Krieger has mentioned the point about raising revenue and fines a number of times. Keep in mind, the court specifically looked at the fact that the city raises some amount of revenue and found that that by itself does not render the program suspect in any way.
No, but it would help if you could tell us right now how much the city's raised, and right now you can't.
Well, we can't tell you the exact number, but that's information that is public. That's
okay.
Easily obtainable. The fact is, if you raise some revenue, it doesn't mean that somehow a constitutional program becomes unconstitutional. And the court specifically looked at that question. That issue was raised specifically by Mr. Krieger in the courts. And the court looked at that pointedly.
All right, I'm going to get to the phones here. You're hearing from T. Andrew Brown, Rochester Corporation Counsel. Jim McIntosh is here, the city's engineer, and Larry Krieger, the attorney who has challenged the red light camera system in court and lost his challenge in 2013, though, again, he is predicting that on the appellate level in the future, that is going to change.
And Evan, a similar case as happened in Rochester was recently heard in Florida, and with a different result. So that's the way the law works.
Let me get to the phones.
There's no appeal in this case. There can be no appeal. The time is run. This law is solid.
All right, let me get to the phones. Chuck in Greece, you're first up. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hi. I just want to make a comment first. I think that the city representatives, at best, are being disingenuous. This is a revenue-generating scheme. If the safety is involved at all, it's so low down on the scale, I can't perceive it. My daughter lives in the city. She's a single mother of two children. She's had over $1,000 in red light tickets. She doesn't have the money. I just have to fork over $870 to get her car unbooted. The first two or three, maybe even four tickets, and this was maybe 2 years ago, I looked at the video, and she indeed went through the red light. I had no objection. You're wrong. You pay the tickets. She did. Every time after that, as far as I know, every other ticket after that, and I've seen the cameras, she stops. In fact, she makes it a point. If she sees that light turn from red to yellow, she stops. Unfortunately, she doesn't always have the opportunity to stop in front of a line. She'll stop between lines or maybe even after the second line and get a red light ticket for that. And if you tell me that she's doing something evil and deserves to be punished for it, you know, you've got a problem. I've been down to the office, the traffic bureau, with her many times. I don't see people in suits there. I don't see people driving up in fancy cars. I see people like me and my daughter and my grandchildren. We're not full of money. We pay through the nose,
right.
And you're taking it from the people who don't deserve it.
All right, Chuck, thank you.
Sorry, I've lost my temper, but that's enough. I'll hang up.
Chuck, thanks for the phone call. I know, obviously, it's an emotional issue for you. And Mr. Brown, Jim McIntosh, what do you make of those comments?
Well, you know, I mean, to receive enough tickets for $1,000, that would work out to 20 tickets.
Yep.
I can't comment on this caller's daughter. I don't know her. I don't know what case he's referring to. If I did, I'd be able to speak to it more pointedly. But the fact is, if someone gets a ticket that they don't think they should have gotten, they can challenge it. There's no cost to challenging it at all. You can appear before the administrative hearing, and you can present your evidence. And if you don't think that you should have received the ticket, then you can make your case. And the hearing officer can reject the city's ticket and say that you don't have the ticket, you don't have to pay for it. That's allowed.
Well, that rarely happens statistically. And the passion you just heard in that caller is what I hear every day from people that work and shop and play and drive and just do whatever business they need to in the city. People don't have to be a legal scholar or an engineering expert to know this program is hitting people in the pocket, and is the city is shooting itself in the foot by making it unattractive to shop, live, and work here.
All right, now, a couple of comments before I jump back on the phones. Phil writes, I absolutely have never gotten a red light ticket, and I absolutely do not like the program. I doubt I'm the only one. One of your guests needs to talk to more people. However, Mary writes to us and says, my comment is this. Before the red light program, the city and the surrounding towns, I speak of Greece in particular, were experiencing an epidemic of drivers running red lights and recklessly going through intersections. There has been a marked decline over the years of this behavior, at least in my experience. I'm happy this program is implemented, and I hope it stays. This is from a driver who has paid her red light ticket. If this hasn't already been discussed, for the guest who thinks they should be removed, that's you, Larry, what is your motive in asking for the removal of this program?
Well, I think that there isn't a particular red light problem in Rochester. And if there are some problem intersections, then there's good old law enforcement techniques. The city can muster police traffic enforcement and do things the old-fashioned way, and we might get a little bit more common sense.
I'm going to get back to the phones then, and this is Mike in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You just touched upon what I work downtown. I'm in and out of here 10 times a day, and I really have a problem thinking it's not a money grab when you see policemen standing on the corner who would be, I've been behind in front of policemen on turns of right, red stop, turn right, they don't do a thing. So all of a sudden, they're not pulling the plug to pull over and hand a traffic ticket out. These machines do it for the people. You set the threshold for how long it takes to sit there. And I find it a little bit troublesome also that, you know, you have police officers standing around Main Street, and I saw it just now coming in, where you have jaywalkers all over the place, and not a thing is done about it. If you're worried about traffic safety, there's a big one to hit. And then finally, on the engineering note, more time should be emphasized on whoever set up the genius right-hand turn from St. Paul or from Main to St. Paul, the new bus depot. That's where people are going to get killed. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Some response from the city, if we could. Jim, anything
where
you want to add
there? Where do I start? let's see. You know, the bus terminal, you know, thing was you know, was one that we went through and worked with the county traffic, and I think that there have been some issues there. We've been working through some changes to the curb line to make those turns easier, and I think some of those conflicts will go away when we complete the second phase at Clinton of the two-way conversion, where we have two-way roads on either side of Main Street to address that one with the buses. As far as I'm not going to address the RPD issues, but they're out there on those intersections because we have a high percentage of pedestrians crossing the street, and we want to make sure that they get across safely.
And to put a police officer at every troubled intersection would require an additional millions and millions of dollars to be spent annually.
Well, there aren't really troubled intersections, or we would see more problems. And to go back to your question, or the caller's question, Evan, I'm as an attorney and as somebody who believes in due process, I'm generally against robo ticketing and pointing more cameras at citizens.
But do you at least agree that there have to be some intersections where we see a higher incidence of accidents or issues?
Well, no, I don't see that in the city's
every
study.
Intersection is exactly the same?
Well, these things ebb and flow, and one of the problems with the city's study is it didn't account for changing traffic volumes over the years. It didn't account for other statistical anomalies, and they didn't analyze any other intersections in the city. They only analyzed the 32 intersections where they put these cameras. There's lots more intersections.
Okay, Jim?
No, the study was focused on these red light camera intersections. I think, the starting basis of safety was that when we looked at over, to get the 48 intersections we have, we looked at close to 200, I think it was 195 intersections, where we hung these cameras for 8 hours and looked, because all of those had the traffic numbers and the accidents that we were looking at. Until we found those ones that had 15 people going through them, straight through on red, not right on red, then we started looking at whether we were going to put a red light camera. So our basis wasn't just looking at the 48 intersections saying, let's put the cameras there. We looked at 200 intersections, and out of those, we found these 48 that we had issues with.
Okay. Back to the phones, and this is David in Rochester. Go ahead, David.
Hey, I got a red light ticket a couple months ago. I reviewed the video. I clearly stopped, but I did it about a foot into the crosswalk. So I went down and appealed it. And a man in a fairly disheveled suit looked at me and said, it's clear you stopped illegally. You're getting the ticket. And didn't want to hear anything that I had to say. It was very black and white. I was disappointed, but I was encouraged to hear that you guys are taking some of a reasonable approach to this and not going to be doing those completely stop behind the stop line tickets anymore, beyond that, which is great. What I have noticed, and I commute back and forth in the city, through the city every day, is that I see very abrupt stopping at the photo intersections or the ticketed intersections, but I still see people blowing off the red lights in the other intersections. And I think that inconsistency is unsafe. So people are really just stopping because they know there's the $50 potential there. So I don't really see the behavior changing, and that's unfortunate.
David, thanks for the call. A couple of points there. First of all, are you concerned about inconsistency of driver behavior at all?
Well, as he said, I think, if people are doing that, only stopping because now they've seen the sign, and other people say that we don't have signs. Well, we have a sign, everyone, even though it's not required. We want to make this as obvious as possible that there were red light cameras there. But if they are, going through those intersections, and stopping and then at other intersections and blowing through the red lights, yeah, certainly that's an issue.
Will you add red light cameras anywhere?
We have the ability to do up to 200 red light cameras or 50 intersections. We have 32 now. We don't see, we're going to do in this round, we will probably hang some more cameras to see if we have any. We have some intersections that RPD and residents have brought forward saying that, we need a camera here. We'll probably hang cameras at those. And if they meet the requirements, we'll have that discussion, but in the last two or three rounds that we did of those 200, we were finding, few intersections that were meeting those minimal criteria that we were looking at. And I guess getting back to the, we had talked a little bit about the increase in the rear-end violations. We had 11 intersections that had an increase in rear-end collisions, but, in my mind, that means that we didn't have a right-angle collision, which, is typically both property, higher property, and personal injury. overall in the program, we saw an 18% decline in rear-end collisions if you took all the intersections. But there were those ones, and again, those are within those also within those eight that we're looking at to address.
Let me get Tim in Pittsford. Go ahead, Tim.
Good God, where to start? Two points. The zip codes you're saying people are getting tickets from. You know how many zip codes there are in the city, especially 14605, 0921, 1108. There's five right there where you're giving out a $50 ticket to literally poor people. And let's pretend it's not about the money. It is about the money, but let's pretend it's not about the money. Why, instead of $50, why can't you send them that nice video that shows them running the red light with a $10 or $15 ticket? If it's really not about the money, then hitting them in their pocketbook, or even though they don't really have a pocketbook, $10 or $15. Also, thanks to you guys, this is now part of our union contract at work, where if you get two red light tickets, your job is on the line. And Larry is not my lawyer. I do have a lawyer, but I may be calling Larry someday if this happens to show up, because it's getting very close with some guys that they have two tickets in their file and their job is on the line. And I'm not going to let you know what their salaries are, but if they are fired, I'm pretty sure they're going to want that salary until their retirement age and their retirement. And whether it's great for the lawyer in the room to say, well, this is constitutional. Constitutional is great. There's a lot of constitutional things. That doesn't mean it's making your city residents extremely happy right now. In fact, I can't remember anyone ever saying, this is great, I wish you would put more in. It's not going away, of course. I think it will someday, and I hope for Larry's sake and our sake it does. But you guys need to rethink this seriously.
Tim, thanks for the call. Mr. Brown, Corporation Counsel, he's saying that he's worried about people losing jobs from this.
Well, yeah, I am too. I certainly don't want anybody to lose their job over getting a $50 ticket. And that's unfortunate. I can't speak to his particular case because I don't know him and I don't know the facts underlying his particular case. But one thing he does point out, he mentioned the amount of the fine here. Let's keep in mind that this is a $50 fine, as I said before. If you get a ticket from a police officer, the fine is many times that amount. The amount would be between $163 and $313. So the amount of the fine is substantially less than the city would fine
okay.
an individual who
but Mr.
The
Brown,
line.
Here's Misty on Twitter saying, I find the repetitive comment that it's a $50 fine, it's only a $50 fine, to be rather dismissive and patronizing. People are hearing this and they're thinking it's a little tone deaf for people in poverty. Should the fine be less for people in poverty?
Well, the amount could always be less. If you have a fine of $25, there's always going to be someone who says it should be less, or someone who's going to say there shouldn't be any fine at all. There simply should be a notice that you read a red light, or perhaps that there should not be a fine until after three or four occurrences. So, you know, I certainly understand that $50 to some people is a lot of money. I don't want to seem to suggest otherwise. But the fact is, City Council designated this amount. I think it is a reasonable amount, and it's far less than what a police officer would fine an individual who he or she sees running a red light.
But that's an imaginary ticket, because a living, breathing police officer with common sense would probably never issue that ticket to begin with.
Larry, are you hearing from people like Tim in Pittsford who are concerned about job law?
I hear about it all the time. People who have their job in jeopardy, people who have gotten tickets built up that they honestly can't pay, and they end up getting booted. And I've heard from one person just yesterday who had a car seized by the city and sold at auction because they couldn't pay all the booting tickets they got. The city is booting a lot of people right into poverty. I love to live and work and own a business in the city, and I'll tell you that this program just is sad and embarrassing. City Hall should pull the plug, because you're driving people away from city events and from wanting to live here, and those that can't avoid these red light camera tickets are really getting unfairly hit.
All right, well, I will just say, the host of this program takes no position on red light cameras. I think we all agree. We don't want to see anyone losing jobs over this. So, Tim, good luck to you and the people you work with on that. Matt writes to us on Twitter and says, looking at the report, could there have been a control group studied? Is it possible that collisions were down citywide, Jim?
Sure. Again, that is, you know, that is a possibility, but we did not, you know, we will get that information from the county. They do a study, you know, on collisions and the high collision and high accident intersections. So we do have that information, and we can compare, you know, the last study to the, you know, most recent study. I believe they do that about every 5 years.
But if you missed it earlier, Jim said that 32 intersections with the cameras all studied, three quarters, 24 out of 32, saw the accidents decrease
right
significantly?
Yes. All but eight intersections saw accidents decrease. There were only 8 of the 48 that showed them increase.
Okay.
There were also significant. There was also a significant decline in bodily injuries through these
yes.
accidents.
Okay.
So you have less people getting hurt.
All right. So, Larry, I'm gonna close this program with all five phone lines lit up. I mean, this is remarkable. Everyone is talking about this. And so if you're on the line, I apologize. We couldn't get to all of you. 20 seconds. What happens next with this? What do you think happens?
Well, the court did uphold the city law.
Yep.
And until somebody comes along and brings the next case and challenges it, which I predict more litigation over this bad law, the city should come to its senses and pull the plug, at least suspend the program while it's being investigated, and listen to the passionate outcries of people who live and work in the city. People don't want this program because common sense tells them it smells, it's to raise money, period.
All right, Jim, 20 seconds. City, what's going on next with this program?
I think, you know, we need to get the second piece to, you know, validate what the report in the fall showed, get the additional information and look at these eight intersections. And I think we'll, you know, keep pushing on the safety aspect, which is where the program's been from the beginning.
We could have taken probably 100 phone calls this hour. It's really remarkable. And there are some people who are fired up. I know the city hears from them. I appreciate the fact that Jim McIntosh, city engineer, and T. Andrew Brown, Rochester's Corporation Council, came on this program to at least answer some of these questions. And I hope you come back and continue to do that. Thank you to you both.
Sure. Thank you,
Evan. And Larry Krieger, I know that you know, you represent a side of this issue that is equally passionate, if not more so. We'll continue the conversation in the future.
You'll continue to hear from me, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all of the calls and comments. We tried to cover as much ground as we could with these 2 hours. I'm Evan Dawson. Thanks for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.